In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a bullfrog too, but that's another story. Jeremiah was a prophet during Israel's exile, when they had messed up so bad that they got exiled to Babylon. They were apart from the temple. They were apart from their way of life. And in so many ways, they were apart from God. This passage is a prophecy of hope, a prophecy of uplifting, a message of this isn't where your story ends. It's one that the Israelites needed, because you figured they had messed up generations before. This is the people that Jeremiah was speaking to at this point were the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of those originally exiled. They were born in exile, in captivity, in not their homeland, not the promised land that Moses had been promised but never got to see. So when Jeremiah prophesies and proclaims these words of the Lord's, I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. They were great words of comfort, because these were people who had grown up never knowing what the promised land looked like, but definitely knew they weren't in it. The passage continues on. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord. Here we are in week two talking about This Is My Story. And last week we talked about how God is in the byline, how God really truly is the author, and we get the co-author line, or the also written with line. Today we talk about how there's a storyboard. There's always a pattern, and we follow the storyboard, or at least we try to. And like I showed the kids, this is one of those free teacher resources online, but you have your story map, right? And it's got your characters and the setting in which you're in and the problem that you face and the three main events and the resolution. This is for short story writing in elementary school. But I truly believe that we have the same kind of thing. That somewhere in some cosmic space, God has the same thing for each one of us, and there is a general plan. There is a general outline for what our lives are supposed to be. Understanding that, every story has a beginning and an end, with a middle part that sometimes is as short and sometimes is as wide as the, you know, wide as the seas and as vast as the heavens and all that good stuff. So what we fill in the boxes and the part of the story that we get to write is all of those incidental events, all of those things that make our life what it is, all of those experiences that inform who we are and how we look at our world. All of those choices we've made to either follow the golden path God's put in front of us or to stray off and stitch on our own for a while. The question being, are we following that line? Are we following where God has led? Are we filling in the boxes in our story plot line, story map, that he would have us fill out? See, God truly believes, and you know this because he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right there in the garden, even though he told Adam and Eve not to eat of it, he gave them the choice. Choice is important. Choice is one of those freedoms that we take for granted sometimes. Are we choosing where God would have us go and the way God would have us get there? Or are we off writing our chapters by ourselves? I can tell you there are chapters in my life that I have written myself. And when I look back and reflect on the book that is The Life of Christina Louise, I'd go, man, that was not good. that was not good. The chapter on music theory. The chapter on being so blinded by my own ambitions that I took it and failed it not once but twice before God went, I told you to be a minister. But the nice thing is, and nice is not the word I want to use, but the hope-filled thing, the blessing, the thing that keeps me going every morning, is that God's plan is one of hope and rescue and unfailing love and unbridled support and true nurturing and connectedness. Because if God, who was mad at the Israelites, could then say to them through Jeremiah, I know the plans I have in mind for you. They are plans for peace and not disaster. They are plans for life and not death. They are plans for you to grow and thrive and be who you were meant to be. And not just be cast out and forgotten. I will admit that in the last couple of weeks, I have walked a very dark, shadowy path. I will admit that in the last couple of weeks, it has been very hard to see that God truly has a plan in mind for me. It's hard for me to be mindful that that plan is for peace and not chaos when walking with people who really don't get it. When sitting in a room with people who, facing death, do not truly understand that their Redeemer lives. That's draining for me. That's draining for me. And so I come to you, my church family, and I say, listen, God knows the plans. God's always known the plan. The plan is not for us to walk in disaster. His plan is not, and I'm not talking disaster like our neighbors in North Carolina are facing, because that's a whole other kind of conversation. I'm talking disaster of spirit. I'm talking destruction of soul. I'm talking loss of vision of where you are and whose you are and who you belong to. This disaster is loss of faith. Plans for peace and not disaster to give you a future filled with hope. I know my Redeemer lives. He's your Redeemer too. I know full well that the plans God has for me and for you and for us together are ones full of peace and hope That what God has planned for us and the storyline that we're supposed to be following is the one where we are reminded just how precious we are in the sight of the one who died for us. The one who created us. The one who inspires us. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home. Home is not a place, you guys. Let's say that again. Home is not a place, it's a feeling. It's a relationship. God's promise to Israel here is that you are not going to be scattered forever. Remember who you are and whose you are. You are the ones, the children of the promised ones, the ones who lived in the promise. You are offspring of the promise. And I know, I fully understand that it is hard sometimes with all of the outside pressures, with all of the other voices speaking, with all of the other little g gods in our world. I understand how hard it is to hold on to that. Really, I do. I've walked that line. But I also know full well that that's not what God desires. And that when God speaks, it's usually in unexpected voices. Perhaps then we need to be paying closer attention to who the quiet ones are. Those quiet voices, those things that go, whoa, that's a little too tight to be a coincidence. That's a little too... Wow, that kid, that child, literally elementary school age child, just gave me a dose of wisdom beyond her years. How many people have had that happen? That 90-year-old out on the street yesterday watching me paint faces was in tune with her inner child. Enough so that they came and had me paint their face too. There's a message in that for me from God. It says, don't you ever forget whose child you are. Because in the grand scheme of things, we are all his child, right? In the grand scheme of things, we all have a story. Uncle Louis said it when Aunt Carol was dying. He said, on your gravestone, there's a birth date and a death date, and it's the hyphen in the middle that means the most, because that's where you lived. What your hyphen looks like when you're looking at it this way, when you turn it this way to see the list of all of your accomplishments, of all of your story, of all of the things that make you who you are, that you are remembered for, that's your story. Who you are and the waters you've walked through and the fires you've faced is your story. And it fills in the gaps between the bullet points that God puts out. It's kind of like following a pattern. And you have a general idea like a dot to dot, so you've got the numbers that you have to follow along, but nobody ever tells you what color to color it. I kind of wonder if that's not how God works. And how our stories are laid out. Where there's those big things that God knows. And then there's all the little in-between stuff where we get in and fiddle with it. And make our decisions. And make our choices. And think about the things that we've been involved in. That may or may not have been where God would have had us go. I get great comfort in the fact that God has a plan and that it doesn't all rest on my shoulders. And I offer you that same thing, to hold on to that truth that God has a plan. It's not all on your shoulders. Yes, you have to make your day-to-day choices, and yes, you have to decide whether you believe it or really anything else that's in the Bible. But to have just that little bit of weight lifted off, to know that I'm not in charge of it, oh, thank you. I leave you with these words again. God says, I know the plans I have in mind for you. They are plans for peace, not disaster. To give you a future filled with hope. Amen.